My name's Rich Henderson. This is a Whiskey Town song. Got 16 days, one for every time I'm gone away, one for every time I should've stayed. Thank you.
3, 2, 1. Welcome you to Porch Talk. It's your host, Alan, and Rich Anderson. And, Daniel. Hey.
What's going on, man?
Furnace?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
Rob. That's right.
Rich Anderson, dude. Yes, sir. What a damn show, boys.
Thank you. It was awesome. We had fun.
Ooh. A whole lot of fun.
I appreciate you bringing that biscuit, huh? I went to this cuisine. Trey, what's the name of that place? Charlie's?
Charlie's. I think it's Charles or Charlie's. It's just a like a mom and pop meeting three. In Fayette, Alabama.
Fayette, Alabama.
And they got some cooks that they could throw down, man. And took Alan. Alan's never been there before. Took him in there, and he got a, what, do you remember the name here? They got some crazy names.
Wildcat Shaker and Mover. It was a whole damn potato worth of hash browns.
Hell yeah.
3 eggs over medium.
Okay.
3 links, 3 cuts of sausage.
Okay.
3 cuts of tomato on top.
Hell yeah.
And
gravy?
Couldn't finish.
Homemade strawberry preserves.
And finish. Ooh,
come on now.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Big old biscuit. Big old cat head biscuit. You know, about the size of 2 fists. Yeah.
Man, speaking of Alabama, speaking of the South, everybody, we have Rich Henderson here with Ethan and Daniel once again. And my goodness, what a sound, dude. And thank you for representation with songwriting, with guitar playing, and thank you for being so honest about where you're from.
Thank you
for that.
We're proud, dude. We're proud to be here. We feel like we're ambassadors. We hope that we're good ambassadors, and we try to be when we get out and about. I mean, it growing up here meant a lot to me, and it's a huge part of who I am. And I raised my children here, and I couldn't be more proud to be from Alabama.
Daniel, Ethan, anything to add?
In the true form of honesty, I'm from Kentucky originally, but I've been here for.
We playing you, buddy.
Oh, he's Alabamian.
I'm proud Alabamian. Yeah. About this place, ever since Rich brought me in, man, it's been always felt like home. Anyway, it's a.
They'll elaborate as much as you would like.
Man, I just.
You play that? Man,
he's a man of many words.
Daniel opened up and led some songs, and I hate it if you didn't see it. I'm not opposed to any person in the audience breaking out their phone and recording it. That's typically how I judge how someone's doing a good job. Like, if it compels me to record it, to share it, you didn't see this.
Yeah.
I saw that so much today.
Yeah.
And, man, I did not expect this. Let's talk a little bit about the formation of the show. Kobe Aldridge, dear friend of mine, Americana hero, he tells me everything. What's going on, what's shaking, what's moving. And when I started doing these shows, closed on Sundays, he's like, see if you can get Rich Henderson. And I, immediately after that, I asked you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a couple of hours later, I got a response. And when I told him that you were coming, he was, no way. And.
He didn't think I'd come down here.
No. No. Didn't think it would happen.
Oh, I'll do it.
And so, guys, like, let's open up a little bit about that. It's like just 6-7 years on the road, like busting your ass, playing any venue, any bar, like just figuring it out. What I like to do, what I hate to do is, man, what do you like to play? What do you like?
I love small intimate shit like this. It's probably my favorite. If you get an opportunity to kind of bang around and meet everybody and get a good vibe and take some chances and get wild and dandy, largely in part we built our some would say small but very ferocious fan base doing that room to room over the last, you know, really going, this is the 8th year full-time for me, and it's a thing that I've had some opportunity now to play in front of some gigantic mind-boggling crowds of like our seas of people that you can dream about as a musician growing up, but when you get there you recognize it's cool. And it's awesome and it has its own thing, but to be able to get back into some of these smaller rooms and kick around and meet good folks from Alabama. You know, y'all are cut from the same cloth that we're cut from. We all grew up the same way.
We're Alabamians.
That's right.
We get it.
That's right. And then you run out and you find, you know,
Jesus saves, Medicaid, like so many times in your songwriting. I feel like I grew up in the same town as you.
That's right, man.
Cause I did.
Cause you did, yeah. And if you have an opportunity to be honest as a writer, I feel like you'll find out that that's the story for everybody, for real. You know, we get out and we find folks in Missouri that it hits the same way. And we have all these divisions amongst us, but we're all kind of the same people going through the same shit all over the place, you know?
Hey, early influences, boys, I want to hear from each of you. Sorry, Daniel, I'm going to start with you. Is it cool if I put you in the pocket? I want to talk a little bit about influence because, guys, like, just the sound, the overall sound, Southern rock, classic rock, modern, Americana, and also nothing else quite sounds like this. So let's get to the heart of it. Who influenced you to play guitar, a bass? You weren't even a bass player.
Yeah, man.
But we have to start with Daniel.
Definitely like classic rock. My dad, like growing up, he used to play like old vinyls and stuff of like Kansas, Boston,
bangers,
stuff like that.
Bangers.
And then later on, like in high school when I got my first band or whatever, we played like a lot of hard rock and metal stuff. So that's primarily my background. I was never really the country guy. Like the word country in circles that I ran with
all
was, very. Like you didn't even talk about country.
If you liked it, you didn't tell nobody.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's wild. Yeah. It's wild, but like Mississippi, like a lot of people give credit for the blues, a lot of spirit for rock and roll, right? What's the most popular genre of music in the state of Mississippi? Metal.
Metal. No way.
But they don't have metal shows. They have metal shows in pockets. And then when I look the same descriptor up in the state of Alabama, what is the most popular genre of music in Alabama?
Is it metal?
Hip-hop.
That's what my gut said.
I was going to say pop country, but that's the same thing as hip-hop these days.
Yeah, that's right.
Same thing. I would have been right, kind of.
Yeah. But so, like, just
really shitty hip-hop.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I hope it's coming around. I really like opportunities and people taking chances. We were talking about Ye, Kanye West, Cousins. You took a big chance and covered Tim McGraw.
I did, yeah.
With Red Rag Top. Where'd it come from? Like, how did you land on that, huh?
You know, I've always loved that song, lyrically. Being a songwriter, I've always been kind of a lyric listener since I was a child.
How old was you when the first time you heard it?
That song?
Yeah, I was like 13.
Yeah, me too. I think it come out in 2000?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I've been 10.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, 10, yeah.
I was 10 or 11.
I'm 90, baby.
And it's, you know, I heard it, I guess it really hit me, and I was probably about 13. I was a teenager, and I was wildly in love, and I imagined myself in the shoes of this character in the song, and was floored that no one else was picking up what I was picking up from that song.
Yeah.
And as I got older and started playing guitar and getting out and performing music and stuff, that song has always kind of stayed with me. You have these songs you love when you're a kid and then you outgrow them and they're not really something you would be into anymore. But that song in particular was one I just always felt like I wanted to be a part of that song's
life.
Yeah.
And I think you like brought it back to life, so to speak, because I'm not a Tim McGraw fan. I'm not being negative or positive. I'm just honest. He didn't write the song. Like you said, Jason White wrote it.
That's right.
And it was like, what do you mean? Well, when you get to that like country radio stuff, is oftentimes the songs that you hear, they're being performed. They were not written. It's like, I like that damn George Strait because like he lived like I lived. And no, somebody was sitting in a room and was able to like, it felt like Jesse Jackson, you know, and they go on and it's good. But great voice, not taking anything away from that.
That's right.
But at the same time, we don't leave room right now. Why aren't we so stuck in like this nostalgic? Like right now, there's a connection with like All American Rejects are playing like
house shows,
and frat house shows, and that's on the pop rock kind of thing. Yeah. And then I hear about like there's places that are nowhere since COVID that just was like, we'll do music or a house. Yeah. And when I got this place, it's like, I'll do music here.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I think the resurgence of nostalgia, particularly in like the pop rock era, which I gotta admit, I'm not shameful about it. I fucking love pop rock.
Big time.
Some of that pop punk shit, like the From Under the Cork Tree Fall Out Boy record that dropped whenever we were in, it was like 08 or 09 or whatever. That's record slams.
That's still my like Desert Island album is From Under the Cork Tree.
Yeah, it's great. Productive aspect of the record's brilliant. The songwriting's killer. The performances are all fantastic. And we've moved into a space to where maybe some of the more modern stuff doesn't connect with some of those things that we used to experience, so we're longing for those scenarios as creatives. So I mean, I've found some of the stuff I've been making lately is very much a kind of like a pop rock vibe to it, which is something I would have cringed at a little bit probably a couple of years ago, I think, but I'm inspired and I love it, and it's been fun.
Well, I think in the mix of, and we didn't have the drummer here, but like in the mix of people that you have with Daniel and Ethan, like you call it pop rock, I couldn't do that personally. I couldn't describe it that way.
Yeah.
It still has that like down gritty, and like it felt like it come from somewhere. Like it doesn't have that polish kind of thing.
That's right.
It kind of feels genuine.
That's right.
And so, like, I really couldn't describe it like that. And thank y'all once again, man.
Well, thank you. I think we try to stay, you know, when I think about making something, the biggest question that I always ask myself at every turn is, like, are you being honest about that? Are you being real about that? Because, you know, my goal is to connect with people in a way that I can get down where they're at. And how the hell can I do that if I've not been honest about where it is I am? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that kind of lands a lot in the music that I write, but also in the way that we perform it, because these cats grew up alongside me in the same exact circumstances and scenarios. Him literally, this has been one of my best friends for 30 some odd years at this point, you know? He grew up, the longer we know each other, the more we find out that we were just living the same exact life 100 miles apart.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like the Shutter Day, man, like I cried twice.
Yeah. Touched. I cried once.
I did too.
I was tearing up.
I was touched.
Thank you, dude, for real. Yeah.
And like, I just want to thank y'all. Like, everybody out here watching, listen, is the reason why it was so emotional for me. It felt like somebody from where I was from telling the stories, because like there's so many connotations to where like things are like this is how things are. Alabama, they're slow, they're stupid, they're dumb.
That's right.
And they die from diabetes. Why?
That's right. It's not true though.
Medicaid.
That's right.
Insurance, the way politics work around here. And like for somebody to perfectly capture that, every time I listen to that song, I tear up.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for that.
I hope that it would land, but it felt so important to be honest about the way that I saw things and the experience that I had that I just needed to do it. And if it didn't land, I don't fucking care. And it didn't land, so.
That was one of those songs, the first time he showed it to me, I was like, this is probably the most important thing you've ever said, you know, like it's the way it's my brother, but I'm a big fan of my brother, you know what I mean?
And, yeah.
He bounces a lot of things off of me all the time, and that one I was just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you said everything that needed to be said in a very poignant way, in a very poetic, beautiful way at the same time.
Yeah, perfect way to describe it. And like I feel like that's the first time I ever heard a real chance of where I'm from being properly represented. Yeah, I grew up in a trailer. And I don't, like, you make fun of my way of life passively. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
it wasn't a it wasn't a caricature for us. We didn't have a choice.
No.
That was our reality.
Yeah.
And look at us now.
And then, like, you see just down the road or down the street, like, what somebody else has. And you're not, and, like, we all do comparison.
I wasn't
even like comparing myself. I knew, I was like, well, I'm not gonna worry about that. But at the same time, dude, like, a lot of people took it, it was some kind of a flex.
Yeah, I always had a real and, problem like, wondering, like, what did, why don't we deserve that too?
Yeah.
You know, why does my dad not deserve that? Why does my big brother not deserve that?
I bust my ass.
That's right. That's right. We watch our folks work their asses off as hard as anybody.
Yeah.
Why don't we get a shot at that? That's what it felt like, you know.
That's what that song feels like.
But yeah. Thank you. I hope that would land that way.
How did you land on wanting to cover Red Ragtop?
I just always loved it, man, and I thought to myself, like, this is such a beautiful song, and a lot of people I feel like are missing the message because of the arrangement choices on the original cut. And when I cover something, if I play a song, it's because I love it, and I try, as an artist, I'm a creative person, so I try to make sure and serve it in some kind of way that's going to matter. I'm not just going to play a song exactly like somebody else does it. They already did it fucking great that way, so why would I go that same route?
Yes.
So it was just, I just always loved it, man. I feel like it had an important message. So.
Hell yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about band formation. Why don't you bring these boys around? Speak up for yourselves too, by the way.
They're fucking killer. They're killer people, firstly. I gotta spend a lot of time with people in the band, and I never could just hire the best people you can find and get out and chase it down. I really want to build something with my homies that I love, that I know love me, and I believe in what I'm doing in a way that it feels special to get to do it, and they believe in what I'm doing in that same way that it feels special to get to share it with them. So I think that's why we have all stuck together through all of this shit we've dealt with, because boys, I think it'd be fair to say it's been a lot of fucking shit that we've seen. We've had the ups and downs. We've been rubbed down on sides of the road. We've towed vehicles out. We had all our fucking gear stolen from us while I was in the hospital in North Carolina. We just get back up and keep fucking rolling like we're gonna do every single time. And that comes from the fact that we got a house built on a solid foundation. We didn't build this shit on sand.
Yeah.
Because I wanna do it forever. And these guys want to do it forever.
That was the first thing that I picked up on when I walked in here and met y'all, that y'all come from the mud.
That's right.
And y'all haven't forgot about it.
That's right.
Y'all are the best people. That's all three of you guys.
Thank you.
I thank the world of you. I had, you know, blessed with the opportunity to come here and meet somebody like y'all. I think y'all are really good people. And you can just tell by the way y'all play together.
And
the way that y'all do everything that y'all do, like y'all are on the same page, and y'all are just incredible people, and even better musicians. I could pick up on that real quick.
It's been important to me. You know, we were raised right. All of us were. I know both of their parents, and they're good people, and they taught us to go out and do the right thing. We got a code, if you will, that we live by.
Right. Yeah.
And we don't break that code no matter what. And now some people outside these walls might not agree with some parts of that code. We don't care. We go by that code because it's our belief system.
Like that. Yeah.
You know, and having that honest and simple code that we all operate within, it allows us to be free and have a good time and be kind to folks and treat folks well, because it's a representation of how we feel inside and about the things around us.
And, and they took me to school this morning around lunch. I'll tell you, testimony, how serious they take it. They beat me here. I told them noon. I was like, it's a band. They'll be here by 1:30.
Yeah, not us.
Nope. No, they're ahead of schedule.
We are the most on-time band in the professional touring scene. That is a big thing.
That's facts.
Yeah. I got a phone call, and I was still doing around, and yeah. But, man.
That makes me so fucking proud.
It did, man.
He woke up this morning and he's running around, you know, getting ready, getting all his stuff together, getting ready to walk out the door. And I said, "Wait, what are you doing, bro?" He said, "Rich is at the store." I said, "Oh, okay." He's there. He's waiting on me.
Yeah, okay. Dude, we take it very seriously. We're very easygoing and relaxed. When I come on for performances or whatever, you pretty much got us for the day. But it's important for me, and I can speak for these two. It's a real big deal for both of them that we respect the people that we're working with, and we respect their time. And as business owners and people, you have your own shit going on. And if it can be a lax schedule for you, hell yeah, we got all day. But if you need it to be on point, we don't want you to sit around and wait on us. We want to be there to get the job done.
Yeah.
We never really like talked that over at all. I'll share this. This guy. Kobe Aldridge told me, like, if you could get Rich Henderson to play guitar, that'd be really cool. And so I wrote Rich, and he wrote me back. We never talked about P's and Q's. And then last night, you talked about PA, and I was like, oh, yeah, it might be best. You have PA, have it mic. And surprisingly today, with Daniel and Ethan.
That's right. I told Ethan I
like it. And we're like, and really just blow these guys away. Like, put a taste on somebody's mouth.
Listen, if you over-deliver the promises, you're in a good stance. But the big thing, you know, back to what I said earlier, I could have came down here and acoustic guitared it and had a good time, but I love these fucking dudes, and we do this shit at the couch when there's nobody watching at the house, and I love to do it with them. It's a joy of my life. I had so much fun that I had a feeling that this was going to be a really good time, and I wanted them to come down with me and wear it out, and it was just it made sense to me emotionally, and
I cried twice, man.
I made sure that we did a pre-show check, like, hey, we're going to bring a PA, everything's good. We'll see you tomorrow, you know, and we got here and handle business.
Yeah. I want to ask you this, is just for the future, and guys, please, is where you're at, touring, getting these shows, releasing pretty cool records, that's some great stuff going. Yeah. What's the future look like? What's the plan?
Well, we got a record that we're wrapping up right now. We have just dreamt up a thing together, the three of us, which I'll keep the name of what it's going to be on lock, because we're going to do it anonymously, I think. But we're going to be making
a really fun bio for it, dude.
We're going to. Yeah. We're going to. We're actually in the process of all that right now. We're going to be putting out a lot of records in a way that's going to be cool and fresh and wild. Couple different genres. It's gonna be fun.
Oh yeah.
Now do you hear me? It's gonna be good. But that's a part of the future, man. We're playing. We do this all the time. This is our full-time gig. We're playing as many shows as we possibly can. We're really looking to play around the Southeast a little more.
Yeah.
It's home. I love the people down here. I feel like I need to meet more of them. So we're
perfect trying. Question right there. I lead it in. Is what would you say?
I told you
what I thought.
Yeah.
And I told you, I said, just like Jesus said, it's hard to be a prophet in your hometown.
Right.
It's hard to be from your own state and get any love.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, and like, I know you told me a little about the game. We're going to talk about the game, but you had so much more success outside the state.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to be a prophet in your own town.
That's right.
Everybody remembers that time you sneezed. in third grade.
That's right.
And there was a little blood in the cough or something. It's whatever. Is that too much?
No,
that's real.
You're not already on that.
People remember that. And you have to leave. You have to go play other places.
That's right. And you really got to get the experience that comes with that shit, too. Like, we've learned so much being out and about across the land that now it is time to come home. You know, it is time to come home and do the hard work of
welcome
getting some of that.
Home, buddy.
Yeah, well, thank you.
But I think for the three of us, like, getting to leave was, like, the first that, like, getting to see some shit that you had never seen before and do it, you know, with music.
I can't tell you how much live footage I looked up. Everybody who was here for this never had anything like that. Y'all gave us a show.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, man, it was a blast.
We really appreciated it.
Oh, yeah. Really. Thank you.
Yeah, man, a fucking blast.
Tell me, I want to get to it. Like, we've talked, we've flirted with it. Where y'all at formation wise, like, coming together and what a show looks like and where y'all want to play.
I think we can scrape it down to bucket lists. Everyone always has the Ryman Auditorium, et cetera, et cetera. My bucket list is the Alabama Theater.
Hell yeah,
dude. I want to sell out the Alabama Theater. That's my goal. My career goal. Red Rocks would be cool, but if the one that, if I'm being honest, that I actually give a shit about, that's Red Rocks Amphitheater.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What about you?
That's the same for me. Ever since I saw the, I think it's the Alive and Red Rocks Incubus 2014.
I got no idea.
Is that a big part of why you like play guitar? Incubus?
Yeah, I'll say Incubus had a good influence. Yeah.
Me too.
Who else?
Probably Dave Grohl, I would say.
Really?
Dave Grohl.
Hammer. That's really cool. Anybody else?
I was never a big, like, you know, everybody's got Satriani or, you know, Steve Vai, all that. I was never really the big legendary guitar guy. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's cool, Zach Wilde and all that, but like,
I tell people, like, modern day people now, I'm like, shit, I like John Mayer.
Yeah.
John Mayer's a dog. Yeah. That Continuum record was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite records of all time.
Don't hate on John Mayer.
No.
I like John Mayer.
Yeah, okay. John Mayer's great.
Whatever you find. And then I also like that, who's that black cat? He's out there in Austin, Texas.
Gary Clark.
Gary's
the
fucking
rollers, dude.
Dude, I got to see him at Bonnaroo, I guess, this past year. And they,
dude, Ethan, why were you at Bonnaroo this past year?
When you see him live, huh?
Oh, my God.
When you see him live, tell it, baby.
Dog, I heard the music. I was like, man, this cat's good. And dude, I was going to get to go see Bonnaroo. And
Where did you go see Bonnaroo for?
I got to play it.
You would leave that out? Perfect.
Like, oh, I'm playing the biggie.
You know who my favorite guitar player is?
Who's that?
Any guesses?
Isbell, maybe?
Jason Isbell, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't get the love he needs.
I was actually going to say.
One of the greatest songwriters of all time, no doubt. But guitar player,
I was gonna
massively
say,
underrated.
Yeah,
he's
I was
a fucking
say hammer guitar player. And Drop My Shoulders.
Oh, man.
Cool.
I think we always talk if it ever stops. You know, for us, if anything ever happens and we can't do what we love to do, we'll just start a Trucker's cover band, man.
That's right.
That's
which will make us about as much money as this.
Yes,
but we'll be equally as happy.
Yeah.
Cooley's, the Truckers are a huge influence on me, obviously. If you hear the show, you can tell that.
Yeah.
Them, Whiskey Town, Brian Adams is I love his guitar playing as well.
Yeah.
He's a great songwriter.
Every show I play, I cover five Ryan Adams songs.
Do you?
No shit.
We play a lot of Ryan Adams songs too. Let's fucking go.
I thought we were.
Can we just become best friends?
I thought so.
Denver looked like we could be cousins. They used to have long hair.
Oh, really?
And oh, beer,
I
about that?
I love it when you had it braided.
It's coming back out, dude. I'm growing it out. Breaking news. Porch Talk Podcast, Rich Henderson's hair is coming back, baby. Everybody, ladies, simmer down. I kept it short.
Watch out for those turquoise rings.
That's right. I wrote that song.
Where's the song come from?
The what?
Where's the song come from?
That song?
A song.
Where does the song come from?
Just I would love
aliens.
I would love for you to just like
pick. It is.
Not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
Pick one of your favorite stories and like just how. I'll take what one these things told me on that one. He backs you up in the chorus.
That's a Whiskey Town song.
That's a Ryan Adams tune.
Yeah.
I love Whiskey Town. It's hard to say it's my favorite band because it's hard to not say that Truckers is my favorite band.
I'm a huge Dexatine guy, too.
Yeah, I'm a huge... No Dexatines. Let's
go. I'm a Dexatine head.
What about that fucking... that guitar riff lick in Granddaddy's Mouth?
Oh, yes.
You can hear it in my head right now.
Dude, I hate to break this up again, but spot on for... The guitar that you
have. Let's go. Thank you.
Good leads, dude.
Thank you. I haven't been playing very long.
Yeah.
Well, I've been working at that.
You don't need much.
No, he's got a little soul.
Yeah.
Bend it. Listen, they say grind it till you find it. Bend it till you mend it, baby. Let's
try. Right.
That's where I'm at, you know?
Hell yeah.
Dude, it's been crazy just to brag on my homie a little bit, just to watch him in the last, because when I came along, he's got a fucking freak thing that he does with that finger picking. I don't know if anybody noticed it today, but it's fucking weird and different and unique, but fucking awesome, dude.
It reminds me of every person I ever like immediately fell in love with when it came to songwriting. It's the same reason I fell in love with like Earl James or A. Partridge. And both of those guys are from Alabama.
Yeah, they are.
And I was curious to ask you this. Mm-hmm. Do you have a background with a banjo?
Do I have a background with a banjo?
It sounds like you do, huh?
You know, I got a 5-string K banjo years ago when I was in this outlaw country band, and I played it on the side and stuff, and then the bridge broke on it. The bridge is like a little bit tiny thin sliver of wood, and I never replaced it. But the reason I play the way that I play with like a, it's kind of like a clawhammer technique on my right hand.
I sense that in your pick.
I learned to play in Afghanistan. My big brother sent me a guitar out there.
Hey, Partridge did too. That's where you picked it up.
And it had one guitar pick, and I lost it fucking immediately. And I wasn't like gonna quit playing guitar, so I kept learning to play without a pick. And I picked up this weird, like I do a kind of a four finger pluck.
Lots of rakes and
rake,
weird
claw hammery. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I sense it more with the electric, because I mean, you're doing less, you're accenting, but even when you were playing by yourself acoustically, like the amount of influence and the strokes and like everything just meant something, and it had to be there. Like, judging a music competition, like one of the things that we judge things on is emotionality.
Yeah.
Was, and that's the most important record. It goes 1 to 30. And all the scales at the end of it goes to 100. But emotionality, like, you hit 30 with me.
I did?
Like,
today?
3 or 4 times.
That's the highest it goes, boys. Let's fucking go.
Like, made me fucking cry, man.
Gotta do it. You gotta be real, man. There's no fake shit out here. I don't have time for it.
So, I mean, like, let's talk about it. Guys, where are you from? I mean, Coleman area, very cool. Why I was excited to have you play here is, man, like, growing up, you're very young with the songwriting. But, man, what about those out-of-place places to where Smith Lake don't mean nothing to nobody, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, we get out and about for a lot of these landmarks and stuff that I talk about in the songs. People can't catch it because they don't even know that it's a place I'm referencing. They just think it's, you know, something that matches phonetically, so that they don't understand. But a lot of these songs I wrote for my folks here in Alabama to know. Yeah. Because again, I feel like we're ambassadors and I feel proud to be from here. And I want that poor kid in a fucking trailer to be banging one of my records in his headphones and hear that he lives down the street from where I came from and that I got out and he can too. So that's the.
Absolutely. I certainly figured that in the music. Let's talk about shows. Let's talk about the outing. I'd like to hear from Daniel and Ethan a little bit. Like, man, like, as far as getting together and going out, man, what's some of the rituals? What's some of the go-tos?
Oh, man. Loves truck stops.
Love some loves, baby.
We've been drinking a lot of water, and we got to piss every fucking time. By we, I mean Daniel and I.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
I drink a lot of the Monster Ultras too.
Yeah.
Zero sugar, a lot of them.
My ritual?
Road fuel.
I have a lot of fucking panic attacks on the road.
Yeah, me too.
That's gotta count.
That's true. The number of panic attacks this band incurs is.
It's gotta count. Yeah. I got now to orange.
It's a ritual.
Through it while I'm driving.
Yeah, because I drink a Monster and try to wake up, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, panic attack.
See if they learn to get a little weed so it can knock you down. Blast you up at the same time.
That's right, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Let's do three more questions. We'll walk out of the door. Out of respect, we appreciate everybody's time. Thank you for your patronage. And I would like to ask, number one thing is Texas Teens Drive-By Truckers. I want to know the biggest influence for the way you play lead guitar.
Yeah, man. It's Whiskey Riff, or it's a Whiskey Town Records mixed with the Drive-By Truckers. I spent so much time listening to it. The way that I play, because I haven't been playing lead guitar for very long, is that I sit down and I write the melody of the solo in my head, and then I have to learn how to play it. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting to where I can pull little improvisational things out now. The last couple weeks has really picked up, but minus the super recent experience, I've written all of the solos in my mind, and then I have to learn how to play them. And I'm coming to find out, I have, you know, there's recognizance that it's a bunch of Justin Isbell licks, it's a bunch of Cooley licks, it's Whiskey Town Records, Stranger's Almanac, the deluxe version.
But
there's some Allman Brothers in that shit.
Allman Brothers, you know, I got a lot of the bins from
there
the Allman Brothers.
A lot of metal.
I listened to a shitload of the Allman Brothers with my dad growing up, and bending a guitar was all I ever wanted to do. I wanted a Les Paul, and I wanted to be able to do that fucking bend. That vocal. Yeah. That vocal sounding.
I love how you take your time.
Yeah, dude.
Take your time.
That's my shit, dude. And but yeah, that's it. The Allman Brothers, Whiskey Town, Truckers. That's why I play guitar the way I do.
Oh, just over the generations, I want to ask y'all, like, just from high school to today, is there are a few bands I still fuck with when it comes to influence. And like, what really wanted me to pick up an instrument and play music? Like, do y'all have any bands that come to mind that are like kind of cringe now? Or is there something like you still kind of come back to? Like, what do you make of that?
I love Paramore. Like, I know.
Meridian, Mississippi.
Yeah, she's that sound of gross. Hayley Williams is incredible, and like the way that she writes and melodies and stuff. It's just big Paramore fan, and I get looked at funny every time I say it. But
Haley, if you're listening to this, oh, there's your boy. He's trying to marry you.
I mean, would not say no if asked. You know.
I know a guy that will serve the wedding.
That's right.
If an Acon,
I'll have the open bar. Haley, thank you. What about you, Daniel? Man, what really what did it for you, dude?
I'll give you one that like I can't hardly listen to anymore that I used to be a big fan of, and that's Korn.
I fucking love Korn.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I just
Danny.
I like some Korn.
Chime in.
I used to be like the biggest Korn fan. Like I put them on recently, I was just like, don't know. It just don't hit the same.
Yeah, their newer stuff.
I still find myself eating Oorong all the time. But yeah, no, I fuck with corn. And I still, a lot of people hate on Nickelback these days, but I think they're all. Yeah.
Like, I don't know,
dude, they're getting a resurgence now. Nickelback, man.
They're not that bad.
They're that bad. They're just getting a resurgence.
I mean,
it was just fun to hate on them for a while.
Yeah, but fun. Like, some of that shit's fun, dude. Like, not everything has to be serious, you know what I mean? And
I can't even cringe on some of the shit, like, all the ones that society, really? Like, the homies would say is super cringy. Like, Still My Sunshine, that song in the 90s.
Banger, dude.
I fucking still love it, dude. Banger, dude. I'm not cringing on shit, it's a banger.
Yeah,
fuck
dude.
You.
We've got some.
Yeah. Right Till I Die, I love it.
Mm-hmm. I'll say, we've got a list of rules that we follow as a band, and one of the rules is nothing but bangers.
That's
and,
right.
Like, if it's good, it's good, it. Dog. You know what I mean?
If it's good, it's good. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's check this out. Is what was the reason for each of y'all for picking up instrument, getting involved?
He was my reason. Was,
oh, I love you.
It's true.
I'll give you a Bud Light.
Real magic.
Today we salute you.
My dad, my Uncle Jeff. And also my mom, too. My mom taught me to sing harmony when I was really young. She's an incredibly talented vocalist. She learned from her mother, who was a session vocalist in Motown. She sang on a lot of the big blues records back in the day, and soul records in Detroit, Michigan. So that was kind of in my bloodline there. But Dad and Uncle Jeff brought me home a drum set when I was like 11 years
old. Started on drums?
Yeah. And I was about to tell Dad that I failed.
That explains a lot, actually, because the way that you approach it, like when we were like doing, like getting ready, and like your account and what you, I was like, hey, that's a guitar player. He's a drummer.
That's right.
That's real. Yeah. Nasty too. Let me tell you, cause I wish he was our drummer. We need to clone him. You know what I mean? Like,
me too.
Like dog.
Yeah. I
and I'm not just like hyping my boy up. This dude is a freak on the drums, man. Like, it's a thing, dude.
I like to jump on him every once in a while, at like a show or whatever. The drummer, one of the drummers we have now, is also a gnarly ass guitar player. So we'll switch. And for years, I haven't even said anything publicly about being a drummer. I do a lot of session work and stuff as a drummer, but. It's like, it was the first thing I started doing. And when I started as a kid, I was at like prodigal level pretty quick. I was a local kid, like that fucking kid is autistic. He's so good at damn drums, you know? So,
oh, they didn't know what to call it then.
That's right.
Something's wrong with
acoustic. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. I don't quite know what it is, but somebody right with that boy.
That boy don't ever quit that shit, but he's real good at it, you know? But yeah, my folks are the reason I picked up. They kept it around me all the time.
Dad also.
Definitely my dad. Like, he used to manage bands and stuff when I was like 5 and 6. So I pretty much grew up around it. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't be doing this at all. He bought me my first guitar when I was like probably 6.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't have the attention span for it then, but then I started taking it serious at, like, 12.
Yeah.
So, I always say I've been playing since I was 12.
Shout out, Grand Dog.
But, yeah, definitely my dad. My mom was not really into music, but, she'd listen to it and stuff, but she wasn't into it like Dad was. Like, Dad was into it. And,
I know what that means.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah. Oh, man. What a time, man. I really appreciate y'all coming out and playing. If people want to find what you got going on and the best way to stay connected, where would they get?
Social media, any of the social medias. We've got accounts everywhere. My Instagram is rich_AF. That's RITCH_AF, Rich's Book. And I got a website, richhenderson.com. You can find my music anywhere you can find music. Wherever you listen to music at, the records are there. R-I-T-C-H Henderson. And you can catch us all over the country at dive bars and all the way up to some theaters in some instances. So come see us.
One last question before we go, boys. And anything else that Ethan or Danny would like to plug, please do. But I wanted to ask each of you is, man, if you could see any show, I don't know, not tomorrow night, next night, nothing going on, who would you go see?
That's a great question. I know my answer.
That's a good question. You go ahead. I'm going to ponder on it.
Bring back Whiskey Town for one fucking show. I would go.
Okay.
That's my one. I'll burn it on that one. Sorry.
Talking like alive or dead or like just...
Whatever you want to do.
I like restraint, so I'm going to go with like current, somebody that I could actually go see.
Okay.
Fuck. I don't know. I'm past Danny right now.
Man, I'm going to be honest. I hate that I didn't get to see Ozzy Osbourne before we left.
Damn. Yes. R.I.P. Oz.
Okay. I would have loved to
have been fucking there. Goat. Thank you, my lord.
Oh. Take care. Damn, that's really hard. I don't know why. Oh, I tell you, the Big X Teens. I want to see that fucking show.
Dude.
You go.
There's no win, man.
I'm here.
Yeah, you go up there. All right. Anything else that you want people to know before we go? Everybody, this has been Rich Henderson, Mr. Perkins, and Daniel.
There's four rules to life that if you follow these four rules, you'll have a better understanding in good scenarios and bad. Number one is it is what it is.
Thank you.
Number two is enough is enough.
Okay.
Number three, bitches be tripping.
That's my one.
And number four is nothing but bangers.
That's right.
That's it.
And we love each other.
I can get down with all of
you. Yeah, I love that. Yes, sir. Thank you. How about that? Oh, we did.
This song's called Won't Ever Be. I wasn't going to record it. I'd actually forgotten it existed. We had finished making the record Alive in Alabama, and I was sat down on the stool in some short shorts and boots, and played the song, and Daniel was like, you have to record that. So we did, and ended up going on the record. Spend my days in silence, sharing stories of the dead. The echoes of the things you write linger loudly in my head. And I want so bad to hold you when them days are all but gone. And the words to paint the flame we made never seem to find a song. It's a long, hard road I'm traveling. I'm out here in the wind where I belong. Girl, kick and scream, it's all that I can do. No, I won't ever be the one for you. I'm leaving in October, the trains are moving fast. The broken hearts and promises, the only thing that lasts. Now you want so bad to hold me, but you know you'll lead me on. And the words to paint the flame we made never seem to find a song. It's a long, hard road I'm traveling on. And I'm out here in the wind where I belong. Girl,
kick and scream, it's all that you can do. No, I won't ever be the one for you. No, I won't ever be. A tune about the South. It's called Jesus Saves. Nah, it's not too far out of tune. This is a song about the South, and it's called Jesus Saves. Twisted Alabama hills, silhouettes and codeine thrills, signs of marigold painting on a watercolor eye. The rusted relics from times past, the coal has turned to crystal glass. There's nothing left here real to steal or buy. And Jesus saves their own. Babies on amphetamines, and daddy's barely rolling in his grave. Blows my mind, no Medicaid. House I saw just in my dreams 15 years ago today, and daffodils and lilies screaming, why am I afraid to die so young? But Jesus saves their own tree, and babies on amphetamines, and daddy's belly. Cross the line, who's fit to stay? Should we carry all our stolen gold to shitty marble graves? Can we hang a for sale sign on with the front door? You're only left to die, baby, if you're poor. If you're poor, and Jesus saves their. Babies on amphetamines, and daddy's barely rolling in his grave. It blows my mind, no Medicaid. Write all these songs and then I forget that they exist. And I don't really write them down anywhere either, which is kind of dangerous.
Well, man, this is the kind of thing that I love about something like this and a show like this. And, man, thank you so much for surprising me with the band.
Yeah.
Because we kind of get both sides. And, I mean, if you decide, like, man, play us some of those dusty ones.
It's one of them things that's the first song that I played. I'd written it 10 years ago and forgot it existed, and it just, I remembered it. It's like, oh, I used to love this song. Why haven't I played it in a decade? And Daniel was probably the only dude who knew me back when I wrote that song, was like, you gotta record that right now. We're literally in the studio, so. It's pretty cool. Maybe I ought to start writing them down, though, so I don't lose them for good. What if it would never come back? I guess I better tell a story. Get out and about running around wild,
doing things, you see a lot of crazy people, meet a lot of cool people. But really, as songwriters and creatives, we're kind of observationalists a bit. We like to talk, and we love for people to watch us, and we got egos, but we are also listeners. And I had a buddy of mine, I just watched this pattern of meeting a young lady, leaving a piece of himself with her, and keeping it moving down the line. So I kind of wrote this song off of seeing that happen from him and remembering what it was like to do it myself. So it's called Closer. Take my hand, I like this dance. And I move slow in a quick advance. So I take my time and I study you, breathing in the way you move. And the moon is long now. Candlelight dances on your waist, and an anchor moves around the place. Oh, I'm closer than I've ever been ourselves too easily. I guess I'm just not worth anything. But a primal collision, the flight, the fall, when souls turn to shadows on the wall. Impossible game, wish I wouldn't. Love you all night, overthink every day. It breaks me down, yeah, you fuck me up. And I'm left here holding an empty cup. Oh, I'm closer than I've ever been.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save.